Okay, we are beginning a new series of messages, and everybody take a copy, make sure you have a copy so that you can maybe check at home over the things again if you don't have. Okay, very good. We want to look at a study from the book of Revelation, and I think it's a very, very interesting book, and there's so much for us to learn. But before we look at the book and before we have a word of prayer, I'd like to mention a couple of things. Brother Poirier texted last night. We text back and forth often. And they have a church work that they're working with in the Dominican Republic. Quite a few people have fled from Haiti, and a bunch of them have tried to get into the Dominican Republic over the years. And so he started a church there. And small church, and the man who was the pastor was walking down the road on Friday. At one point, a truck came along and hit him and killed him. And he has four young kids, and pastor of the church, small work, like we just said. And so please remember them in prayer. Very difficult for them right now. And then a second thing. I mention occasionally that I listen to sermons during the week. I love to do that. Last night on Conference Pulpit, and that's connected to BBN. Now, there are some good Christian radio stations out there on the internet. I would suggest, if you're not on any of those, that you get on BBN or FBN. There's a number of other ones, VCY Radio, and they have good preaching on those stations. Last night on Conference Pulpit at 9 o'clock, Adrian Rogers preached a tremendous message. And you can get that message on demand. It'll be there for the next 6 days if you can get on BBN and pick up that message. He talked about when God takes down the hedges, and his text was Psalm 81. And then he also used the book of Job, and then also Isaiah chapter 5. And the main point of his message is, when God takes down the hedge of protection in Psalm 81 for the nation of Israel, that nation is heading for trouble. God removes his hand of protection, his hand of blessing, and in the case of the nation of Israel, went downhill in a very, very difficult time. It's a 40-minute sermon, and in my opinion, there's a lot of very valuable information for us in a message like that. And I just challenge you, if you possibly can, give it a listen. Next thing, looking at the notes that we pass out. I think it's a good idea to come to church with a pen or pencil. And the notes that we pass out, mark things in the notes as we go through. Let God speak to your heart from the points being made from the scriptures, little thoughts and points that the Holy Spirit has jump out in your heart as you read the scriptures, as they're found in the notes. You know, a little note sheet like we have, we changed the format, as you see, from what we've normally been passing out, a little bit handier to work with. You can mark this thing up, and some people don't like to mark up their Bible, but this you can do whatever with, okay? You understand. Let God speak to your heart from the message that we cover. I trust this morning, as Pastor James was preaching, you didn't have notes, but it'd be good for you to have a pencil and paper along and write down some thoughts as he goes through the sermon. And the studies that he is doing, that I trust we're doing here now, are very, very helpful and very useful in the Christian life. Pay a lot of attention and build yourself strong spiritually. Very, very important in the day and hour in which we live. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have now to break the bread of life, to take the word of God, the very words of God, and study them. And so, Father, we pray that we might allow your word to speak to our hearts, that we might grow in grace, that in the final hours of this dispensation of grace, that we might find ourselves about our Father's business and faithfully representing the Christ and his work and his ministry in the day and hour in which we live in our country. Father, we just pray for your help. We need your help. There's no way in the world that we can understand the scriptures apart from being enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God. And so, Father, we pray today that your Spirit might speak to our hearts, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So beginning on page one of our notes, as we look at the book of Revelation, it is a study of the book of Revelation, and is, thank you, and it's very valuable to us today because we are at the verge of the climax of the age of grace. And those of you who have been around church for a while, been a Christian for a while, you understand that God has worked in various dispensations in the Bible. And we are currently in the church age or in the age of grace, whichever you prefer. We're coming to the end of that. And the signs, like a songwriter has said, the signs of the times are everywhere. And so the study of the book of Revelation is very, very valuable to us today. Let's drop down to the middle of the page where we begin there with a thought from Warren Wiersbe. The author of the book of Revelation is the Apostle John, Revelation 1:1. It is the uncovering or the unveiling of the glory of Christ and future events. Now, I want that to, if God will help us to keep that prominent in this study. The book of Revelation is an unveiling of the glory of Christ. If you see what's going on in our world today and see that this world is being set up for judgment. I mentioned the Adrian Rogers message just a second ago. The hedge has been taken down. It looks like with our world, the hedges of God's protection are taken down. And our adversary, the devil, is working to the climax to bring the world against God and Christ. And the attacks on the Word of God and the gospel are unprecedented in our day. But as we study the book of Revelation, we're going to find out that our adversary, the devil, he does not succeed. He cannot, he will not succeed. This world is the creation of God. Mankind is the creation of God. And God is going to have his will and his way at the end of the day. He gives man freedom. Today, we live in a country where there's a degree of freedom. And as a Bible-believing person, you have the freedom. As a lost person, unsaved person, you have the freedom. You can choose how you will with God and his word. But there's coming a day of reckoning. And the book of Revelation describes that day of reckoning for mankind on planet Earth. Let's read on. The book is to be taken literally. This book was written at a time when the New Testament churches were undergoing persecution and difficulty. The two most important such periods were during the reign of Nero in the years AD 37 to 68, and then Domitian from the years 81 to 96. So in the first century, from when Christ ascended back to heaven at year 30, it doesn't take very long until this persecution set in. And so 45 of those years, when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Revelation, approximately 95 AD, 45 of those years were taken up with persecution and, might we dare say, very severe, intense persecution against God's people. God's people have always lived in persecution. So let's go to page two of our notes. Outline of the book. Key verse in Revelation is Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The things which thou hast seen, John's vision of the glorified Christ as king and priest. The things which are, in chapters 2 to 3, the letters to the seven churches, and they reveal the condition of God's people in the first century. Then the things which shall be hereafter, in chapters 4 to 22. Then in chapters 4 and 5, we're looking at the rapture of the church. That's not particularly mentioned, but in verse 1, that thought is mentioned. We'll mention that when we get there. And then 4 and 5, where John is caught up, the Lamb takes his throne, and the tribulation period of 7 years begins, and that's described in Revelation chapter 6 to 19. Now, that's a very important statement. The Lamb takes his throne, and we're going to see how he's going to rule over planet Earth in chapters 6 through 19. The first half of the tribulation period is chapters 6 to 9. The middle section of the tribulation period is 10 to 14. The last half of the tribulation period is in Revelation chapter 15 to 19. And the millennial kingdom of Christ is chapter 20. And then the new heaven and the new earth described in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. The character of the book, it's prophetic, is a book of prophecy. Point B, it's Christ-centered. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not simply a prophetic program. Now, that is a very, very important point. The book of Revelation, right from the very beginning, it makes a statement, and it makes it several times throughout the book. It is a revelation of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, I trust the Holy Spirit will help us to keep that in mind as we go through the study of the book. Revelation is a revelation. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 1, he is the risen priest king. Chapters 2 and 3, he examines the churches. Chapters 4 and 5, Christ receives worship and praise as he holds the title deed to creation. Chapters 6 through 19, he judges the world and returns in glory. In chapters 20 to 22, he reigns in glory and power. Bottom of page 2, there is a series of sevens in the book of Revelation. There are seven churches, seven seals, trumpets, vials, lampstands, and so on. All these are represented by the number 7. The number 3 also is mentioned, and so the number 144,000 is mentioned, which are multiples of 12. And then you have the 12 stars, the 12 gates, and the 12 foundations, and so on. Now, the book is majestic. This is the book of the throne from chapter 4 to the end. We read about the king and his rule. The word throne is used 44 times, okay? So the book of Revelation has to do with what? Yes, there are judgments in the book of Revelation, but Christ rules over that time period, absolute rules. Then the next thing, king, kingdom, and rule are mentioned 37 times. Power and authority are mentioned 40 times. We see Christ as a sovereign of the universe ruling from the heavenly throne. And you look at the world today and you say, well, where is God in the world today? Where is God? Well, we have an adversary, the devil, who has done his best especially since Calvary 2,000 years ago, to hide and destroy as much as he can so that people do not find the Christ and come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But as we just looked at in the book of Revelation, that's going to change one day soon, very soon, where Christ, in great power and glory, is going to come and deal with planet Earth. Then the next heading is climactic. Revelation is the climax of the Bible and shows the fulfillment of the plan and purpose of God in the universe. In our study, we must take what is written literally unless the context clearly indicates otherwise. Some people want to, what they call, spiritualize or allegorize things in the Word of God, in the book of Revelation. We won't do that unless where the Bible specifically mentions that as being necessary. The text will be taken literally as written. So let's read then Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Who, careful attention, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Key word there in verse number 3, hear and keep. Now in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's try to remember the purpose of the book. It is to reveal Christ. Don't allow anything to keep you from that focus. The book of Revelation, we are looking at the revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ. The Bible had a lot to say about his first coming, didn't it? And how Christ would come and would be revealed in his first coming as he came in as a babe in Gospel of Luke. And then we saw his life through the Gospels and the climax of his life when the world rejected him, when the Jewish nation rejected him and crucified him. We saw exactly the details of his first coming. But when we come to the book of Revelation, we're going to see the time when he comes again and when he's coming to rule in great power and glory. Now, God gave this revelation of Jesus Christ to John, and he wrote it down, and his great power and glory would make visible to all. This book is written to his servants. Another important point. Who is it written to? The servants of God. So that we as God's people would know what's going to happen in the near future. Now we believe as Bible-believing Christians that the rapture is the next thing on God's calendar that's going to happen. The rapture means that the people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, according to numerous passages of Scripture, will be caught up out of this world into the very presence of God. And when the Bible-believing Christians of this generation, in 2024, if the rapture happens this year, this week, this month, what will happen is the Bible-believing Christians will be caught up out of this world. That means there will be a short time where there will not be one Bible-believing Christian walking on planet Earth. Not a one. And then we'll begin the unveiling of the Christ and his program. And we'll get into the, now that I mention that, I probably should mention again, like we have in the past, 144,000 Jewish evangelists will, in the tribulation period, evangelize the world in that time period. So God will still work with mankind and give people an opportunity then. We believe the Bible teaches, if you heard the gospel in this age of grace, you'll not have another opportunity after the rapture. Your opportunity to come to Christ is now. After the rapture, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, your doom is sealed. You'll believe the lie of the Antichrist, and you'll accept the mark of the beast, and you'll be forever lost. I believe the Bible teaches that. I've heard that taught all of my life. I believe that's absolutely true. So today is the age of grace for you and I. May we come to Christ. So first of all, then, this book is written to his servants. This book describes the things which must shortly come to pass. Now, what does that look like to us? When the Bible says something must shortly come to pass, in light of God and eternity, shortly come to pass could be what? How many years? Remember what Peter described with God, 1,000 years are as a day and a day as 1,000 years. When you are reading the words of the eternal God, time is very, very short at best, the way the Bible describes it. And so when the book of Revelation says things which must shortly come to pass, and according to God's way of looking at time, shortly going to happen. Top of page 4 in verse number 2. John wrote down exactly what was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. The testimony of Jesus Christ. This was the very words of Jesus Christ. Now, let that sink into your heart and mind. I'm afraid today that too often we read the Bible like we read any other book, like you're reading a magazine or a newspaper. You can't do that when you come to the Bible. When a Bible-believing Christian picks this book up, he is reading the very words of God. And let that truth sink into your heart and don't ever forget it. And when God teaches us in his word how he wants us to live, it's for our good and for his glory. But these are the very words of God. And when this book says there is a heaven and there is a hell, those are the very words of God. And when this book says salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in the finished work of Christ alone, that is exactly how it is as God describes it in his word. There is only one way to God. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the word of God is what God has revealed to us. And when God speaks, that's it, man. That's the authority. That ends all discussion. And I got to be careful. I don't want to say things that are too crude. You know what I was going to say? Anybody that has any brains ought to understand that this book is the word of God. Pardon me, that's too crude, right? I shouldn't say things like that. But anyway, the Bible is the very word of God. So we pay very careful attention to when God speaks. Verse number 3 on page 4 of our notes. Blessed is he that readeth. That is the book of Revelation. Now, how about that? God says you are blessed if you read the book of Revelation. Question. No, I won't ask you. You don't want to, no, I won't ask you. Blessed is he that reads. Are you reading? God wants you to be reading. Reading the whole Bible, of course. Study the whole Bible, of course. But read the book of Revelation, as we've already discovered. It is the revelation of Jesus the Christ. The first time we saw Jesus come, he came as the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. He came and was nailed to a cross, and he bled and died for our sin. The next time he comes, it's going to be different. And the next time he comes, which is going to happen very soon, I believe, going to be very, very different than he came the first time. You remember in our study on the millennium a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned that Christ came as the Lamb of God. And the next time he comes, he's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Big, big difference. He will deal with mankind very, very differently when he comes the second time. And we're going to study that in this book, should the Lord tarry his coming. So back to verse number 3. Blessed is he that reads. That is the book of Revelation. The next thing. Blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy. That hear the words. Now in the Bible, the fact that mentions hear the words. Now, probably you are hearing what I'm saying, okay? Unless you are deaf, you are hearing what I'm saying. But when the Bible uses the word hear, it means more than hearing an audible sound. It means also doing, applying what you hear. Blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy. Next point. Blessed are they who keep those things which are written. Okay? Blessed are they who keep those things which are written. For the time is at hand. God says the time's at hand. Let's drop down to the seven churches. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and to the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do you remember one or two weeks ago, I suggested that you take the Word of God and you spend a half an hour reading and rereading a passage and then meditating on it? The verses that we just read, Revelation 1, 4 to 6, would be great verses to do that. Read them over slowly and again, reading slowly, and allow the Spirit of God to open your eyes to see the precious truth that's found in God's Word. So going back to verse number 4, the seven churches, these would represent all churches. And notice they are addressed, grace and peace is given to all seven churches. This grace and peace comes from the hand of our eternal God. The book of Revelation deals primarily with the judgments of God's wrath being poured out. But first, grace and peace is demonstrated. And then in verse 4 again, it mentions from the seven spirits which are before the throne. That is, from the Holy Spirit in full completeness of his office and power. Now, maybe we could understand the same way these seven spirits, the way we understand the Trinity as being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the Bible, we find, as you see the references, they're all from the Old Testament. We've given the references here for each one of these. The Holy Spirit may be seen in the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of power, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So the sevenfold demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, a letter to the seven churches. Verse number 5, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. What did Christ do? Christ authored a letter. We know from other scripture that the Bible says the Holy Spirit authors the Word of God. In this case, we have a letter from Jesus Christ to the seven churches. And we'll get into that not next time, but the time after that possibly. And then Jesus the Christ, he is faithful to the truth. And then verse number 5, the first begotten of the dead, he was the first and millions would follow. When the Bible mentions that, first begotten of the dead, it always implies that others will follow. And of course we understand millions will follow Christ, the resurrected Christ. The prince of the kings of the earth. Prince is mentioned 37 times in our Bible. 22 times it's translated ruler and 11 times prince. So we can understand the word prince here implies leadership, ruler as well. Verse number 5 again. To him that loved us. How did he prove his love for us? By the price he paid to redeem us. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. Question for you this morning. Are you valuable to God? What would you say? Are you valuable to God? Answer yes or no.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. We are very valuable to God. How did God prove to us that we are valuable to him? How did he prove it? He washed us from our sins in his own blood, according to Revelation 1:5. How valuable. He gave his very life to redeem sinful fallen man, to redeem us, as we heard this morning, from the curse of the law, and to save us by his wonderful love and grace and mercy. How valuable are you to God? You are so valuable to God that God came, took a body of flesh like you and I have, in order to go to Calvary as the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God and bleed and die on a cross so that your sin debt might be atoned for, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. It's kind of sad in our day that so many religions in our day and so many people in our day think by their good works and their good efforts they're going to merit heaven. Will never work. Never work. And yet the majority of people, even in our country, you ask people, the majority say, according to stats, they want to go to heaven. They believe there's a heaven. Well, I would ask, how are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? You know what the standard answer is? All of the years that I've knocked on doors and witnessed to people, and that'd be thousands over the years, you know what most people say? Ha, I'm doing the best I can. I'm being a good person. What did we find out this morning from the Word of God? There's none righteous, no, not one. You can't live by the law. You can't keep the law. And these people who think they're going to heaven because they're doing the best they can are doing good. What a joke. The devil's lie. There's no way to go to heaven except by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ through the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. There's no going to heaven, man. There's one way, and that's God's way. And if people refuse God's way, the only alternative is God is going to condemn them to hell for all of eternity. Listen to a guy this week make a statement that he said he's an atheist. And the next thing out of his mouth, I'm an atheist, and I'm not one bit afraid of your hell. I'd like to interview him about 5 minutes after he dies. Change your mind, man? Change your mind yet? It's not going to take very long in hell for the sinner to recognize that he was deceived by the devil and that he's lost forever and he's in an eternal place with no escape and no hope and no help ever. That makes life so terribly serious. Life is good? Yep, life is good. Life is great? Absolutely. Christ is good? Yes, the Christian life is glorious? Absolutely. But to miss the salvation provided in Christ and to spend an eternity in hell, wow, how can you measure the loss? Let's move on in our notes on page 5. The last thought we mentioned in verse number 5 of Revelation chapter 1 was we washed from our sins in his own blood. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Notice, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. How are you redeemed? With the precious blood of Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Back to our text, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. In his glorious work of redemption, he made believers into something very special for his purpose. Now, what are we reading here, guys, brothers and sisters? We're reading the Word of God, right? And what does God say? I have made you as my children when you're born again. I have made you kings and priests. Kings, therefore, we are under the Christ's sovereign rule and reign. He's made us priests, therefore we have direct access to God and his heavenly throne. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. My, what has God done for you? What has God done for you? He has chosen me. I'm a part of this royal priesthood. I'm a part of this holy nation. I'm one of these peculiar people. And it doesn't mean weird. It means special, called out people. And all of this so that I might show forth the praises of him who hath called me out of darkness and you too into his marvelous light. God has a purpose and a plan for you. Remember when God saved you? It wasn't just to keep you from an eternal hell. It was to prepare you for a life of serving him in this life. Why does God make us kings and priests? Why not just make us into lowly little servants? And we are that, of course. God has a special purpose for each one of us as his children. Do you know that? God saved you. And God has a special purpose for you. God has a work for you to do that I can't do. Pastor James can't do. The guy beside you can't do. God saved you because God has something for you to do. You will be places in your life I'll never be. Pastor James will never be. We'll never be. The rest of us will never be. But you will be. Why are you there? Stop and ask yourself, why are you there? Because God has you there. And God has a purpose for you being there. And God wants you to represent Christ there where you are. Let's move on. What we lost in Adam, we gain much more in Christ in order to show forth his power and his glory. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. This verse will fit at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. Now, let me say that about the book of Revelation. It jumps around a bit. We're already seeing that right here. You have verses that talk about the present. You have verses that talk about the past. And then it'll jump to verses that talk about the tribulation period in the book of Revelation. Well, obviously. But then we have verses also that are going to lead into the millennial reign, as we already have seen in our study on the book on the millennium. And this is one of those. This verse would apply at the end of the millennium. I'm sorry. Wake up, old man. This verse will apply at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. Now, let me read verse 7 again. Now, keep that in mind. This applies at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Is that going to happen at the rapture? No. The only people who will be conscious of Christ coming at the rapture and calling his church home will be the Bible-believing Christian. So we know that this is not talking about the rapture. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Oh, question, Bible college student. Who's that talking about? They also which pierced him. Who pierced him? Can you tell me? Israel. Israel is accountable for the crucifying of Christ. That's hard for me to say, you know that? That a nation to whom Christ came as a shepherd to see sheep follow him, to come to him and receive him, that nation turned against him at the end of his 3.5-year ministry, and they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And you know what else they said? This is shocking. And let his blood be on our hands. What a rejection of a glorious person, the Christ. And they also which pierced him, and the verse goes on, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. Drop down verse Revelation chapter 2, verse 25. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. So we're looking at references in Revelation about his coming. Anyways, read the rest at home. We haven't got time. Go to page 7 of your notes, and the reference there, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Now, the book of Daniel prophesies some of the very same things as the book of Revelation. Though they are written about 700 years apart, 600 or 700 years apart, they prophesy some of the very same things. And we're going to read that from Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, verse 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That promise has to be fulfilled, and obviously it will be. We believe that 100%. Now another one, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Pay careful attention. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Who's talking about here? And they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Again, the nation of Israel. At the end of the tribulation period, Revelation chapter 19, when Christ comes back to conquer his enemies, the nation of Israel will recognize their Messiah, and they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem. Zechariah 12, 10, 11. Wow. But we have to hurry on. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When's that going to happen? Again, at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, prior to the beginning of the millennium. One more verse from Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Pay attention to who he is. Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. The Lord will have the first word and the last word in all dealings with mankind, because he speaks with almighty power and authority. The beginning and the ending in verse 8. Our Lord was before time began, and he will be until time is no more. Our Lord is the omnipotent being of eternity, and he will be with his children until the end of time. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Which is, Revelation 1, 8 again, which is and which was and which is to come. Notice he is present while John is writing. He was present in history past. He will be forever present throughout time and eternity. Verse 8, one more time, the Almighty. 10 times in the New Testament, our Lord is referred to as the Almighty. 9 of those times are in the book of Revelation. That's pretty interesting to me. The Almighty in the book of Revelation, 9 times. The omnipotence of Christ is seen everywhere in this book. That's why he speaks with such great power and authority, the Almighty. So as we go through this study and we study the book of Revelation, remember, we are studying the almighty person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his final dealings with mankind on planet Earth. I find that challenging. I find that fascinating. I find that exciting, that God has revealed to us history that is yet future. And every word that is written in this book about the future of Christ and his dealing with mankind in the book of Revelation and the rest of the Bible for that matter, but every word is the very word of the living God. And every word, every promise, everything will be fulfilled exactly as given. This is a glorious book. This is a powerful book. Read it, study it, memorize it, and tell it to the world. Our Heavenly Father,